are listening to the Dauber Prospect Radio, Episode 6. We have new CHL features on Dauber Prospects that we're going to talk about. We're putting our focus on the Canada/Russia series, where Team Russia goes up against the WHL All-Stars, the OHL All-Stars, and the QMJHL All-Stars in a best-of-six games over the span of 7 days, playing each team twice. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to Episode 6 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. Thanks for downloading and listening. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show. Or email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, managing editor of dauberprospects.com, Mr. Peter Harling. How's it going, Peter?
It's going pretty good, buddy. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I'm all moved in. Boxes are gone. Last time we talked, I had boxes everywhere. Boxes are empty. I'm living now.
No boxes. You're back to watching hockey on an actual couch.
Yes, and it feels great. My back is much happier.
Speaking of bad back, I've been on the IR for the last couple of weeks with a bad back.
Oh no, what happened?
I just got old. I went to the doctor and he said, in a nutshell, you just got old.
Oh, well that's nice of your doctor.
I can't run without stretching.
Oh.
But I'm feeling much better now. I missed a couple of games, but I'm good to go, Coach.
Excellent. Good to hear. Another funny story, just a quick one. I fell down my new stairs. I've been living in an apartment and I never do stairs because I have an elevator. I fell down the stairs. It was the worst pain I've ever felt in a long, long time. It sucked. I was on the couch for the rest of the night, which was okay because I could watch hockey. But yeah, it was a horrible pain. But I've also recuperated, so we're both good to go, Peter. So let's get right into segment one. All right, we have new segments on dauberprospects.com that are coming out for the OHL that Catherine Jean's writing about, top prospects and free agents of the OHL. It's focusing on the OHL. It's the first week of every month. Catherine has put together the first, I think she's done two now, Peter, is that correct?
That is.
And yeah, so she's doing a fantastic job. Who do you want to highlight out of her latest article?
All right, so one player I want to talk about that she touched on in her second post is Erie Otters' Alex DeBrincat. He's drafted by Chicago last summer. He was forecast to be a potential first-round pick. He's one of those prolific goal-scoring but undersized guys, so he slipped into the second round. In his first year in the OHL, he had 51 goals. Last year, he repeated and had another 51 goals. He's got the chance to go back this year. He's sent back to Erie. In 15 games, he's already got 18 goals, 20 assists, 38 points, and he's second overall in the OHL in scoring. Can't say this guy scored because he's riding on coattails of Connor McDavid in his first year, Strome in his second year. He's just a goal scorer. And so he's got a potential to set a record, a longstanding record in the OHL. Three consecutive 50-goal seasons. He was also the OHL Player of the Week last week, scoring 5 goals, 6 assists, and 11 points in 3 games. An interview I listened to on SiriusXM Radio with Chicago's GM, they said that he's a short player, and a lot of people were concerned about his size, but they think that one more year in junior will give him the opportunity to add the strength that he needs to compete in the professional level, even the NHL, and they're not really concerned that he's short because he's a strong player and he's not afraid to mix it up. He'll go into the corner, he'll go into the greasy areas, he'll stand in front of the net and take a couple of pokes. He's a prospect. He's an interesting prospect. So Captain talks about him. He's making news. I like him. If he's available in the keeper pool and you can sit on him for a year, I'd do it.
So you're saying he's not riding Taylor Radish's coattails?
Yeah, well, actually, Taylor Radish is his teammate, who is first overall on OHL scoring. So I suppose you could make the argument that, he's just lucky playing with these great
Yeah,
players,
and he's
but
going,
that's a league.
yeah, and he's going to Chicago, and they're going to say, "Oh, he's riding Kane's coattails. Oh, he's riding Taves' coattails." Like, when is this kid going to be known to be good? Like, just give him that. He's a good goal scoring prospect. So let's give it to him. DeBrincat,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm glad you highlighted him because he definitely deserves it.
What about who's a player that's today for you?
Jeremy Bracco stayed late into Maple Leafs camp. He was a 2015 second round draft pick. He's playing for the Kitchener Rangers, so it's close to home where I am. And yeah, I really enjoy watching this kid play for the Kitchener Rangers. He can find passing lanes unbelievably. He kinda lower tier of Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner's got that sixth sense of where a passing lane's gonna be. He's looked great for the Leafs, and now Jeremy Bracco has a chance to follow kinda in his footsteps. I think he's gonna be a year or two away still. But since he's come back to the Kitchener Rangers, he's played 14 games. He missed the first two. He has not scored a point in a game. So he's on a 14-game point streak. He's playing really good with Adam Mascarin, who we're going to talk about later in the episode. But yeah, Jeremy Bracco is definitely a kid that you should put on your fantasy radar for maybe 2 years. So if you got a deep keeper pool or a dynasty league where you have prospect farm team, definitely look for Bracco. Maybe even try to trade for him if you don't have him. But yeah, Jeremy Bracco is a fun kid to watch. And on my fantasy teams, I would want him because I just like watching him play. He's just very creative with the puck.
He makes those plays that you're like, wow, where'd that come from? Like Marner does, you're right. He's also an undersized player, but I haven't seen him be willing to go into the greasy areas yet. So he's gonna have to address that point of his game a little bit. But yeah, the upside on him is his ceiling is really high.
Yeah, so our go ahead.
That's all right. As I was gonna say, let's move on from the OHL and start talking about maybe the dub.
All right, the WHL, Braden Sully. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later in segment 3. He went to the Canada-Russia game 2, but that's for later. Braden Sully also is writing a feature for the WHL, which comes out also in the first week of each month, just like Catherine Jean's OHL article. But he's focusing on the WHL players making an impact. Pete, who's your guy that you're focusing in on in this article, latest article from him?
All right, so I get to go see OHL and some Q games live, but of course I don't get to see WHL games live. So unless it's a tournament that comes through this neck of the woods, I don't really get to see these guys. But one player who I've heard a lot about and I'm really excited for, I've read a lot of good things about him, is Kailer Yamamoto. He's draft eligible this year. He's another little guy. He's 5'8", but his offensive numbers are undeniable. 17 games, he's got 13 goals and 13 assists, so a nice equal balance there. So 26 points, third overall in league scoring. And Sportsnet's top 31 NHL draft rankings for November just came out, and they ranked him 14th, which I think was plus two. And like DeBrincat, last week he was the dub player of the week. In four games, he had 3 goals and 4 assists for 7 points. So this is a player who I'm hoping to get to see him play live at the World Juniors for USA this coming winter. That will probably be my first chance to see him live. But he's definitely a prospect that's on my radar. The fact that he's 5'8" doesn't really concern me. I'm willing to overlook that.
I really like Sam Steele. He stayed late also at the Anaheim Ducks training camp and went back to Regina Pats and just lit it up. Pretty sure he's leading in the WHL unless something's happened since we've recorded this to what we're listening to. But 30 points in 14 games, over 2 points per game played. He's just tearing it up. And I think it's because he's moved into a higher scoring role. He definitely, the year before, was less than a point per game. 2014-15, less than a point per game. So there's definitely something that clicked either when he was in Anaheim or since he's been drafted. He got drafted at the end of the first round in 2016 draft to Anaheim. So maybe that made him click. And I really think he's going to have a chance to be a really, really good hockey player, making it for Anaheim in 1 or 2 years. They need offensive scoring in Anaheim. Yeah, they got a lot of older guys, but those older guys are going to get older. So they need some young talent coming in. And what do they got? Nick Ritchie's one of the only young kids there. So I think Sam Steele has a chance to jump into that lineup real quick and play very good high-end role, offensive role. So Sam Steele is definitely a guy that you should keep your eye on as well.
All right. So as you're saying, in the first week, these CHL editorials come out. The first Monday is the OHL, and Wednesdays is the Dub. And on Fridays, we get a look at the Q by our Quebec scout, Mike Barrette. His latest piece looks at the CHL Quebec team preview for the Canada-Russia series. So he's got a number of players who will be playing against Russia coming up in a few days. The first player I want to talk about out of that group is a player who I actually happened to see live last week for the first time, Samuel Girard, defenseman with Shawinigan. He's the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League's leading scorer amongst defensemen. So he's a little player. He's an offensive defenseman. It's skating abilities are very noticeable. About two times a period, he pulled the spinorama. And he made it look really easy. His edge work, his skating is very smooth, and his puck skills, turning the puck around and dragging it on his backhand, creates so much time and space for himself with skating and rushing the puck up the ice. He's able to force defenders, as he attacks with so much speed, to move back. And he's got such lateral ability that just he can really weave his way through traffic, almost uncontested, it seems. Another interesting component of his game that I noticed a couple of times that could really translate very well to higher levels is his ability to anticipate the other team's breakout pass. The other team's got the puck in their end. Most of the players are in the neutral zone. The defenseman comes up from behind the net and fires a stretch pass up the ice. He sees it coming a mile away. He's so fast and so dodgy that he can just start into that passing lane and intercept the pass. He did that 2 or 3 times. That is a great skill. Yeah, he does need to work on defense, though. It seemed like he was on the ice all the time, unless they were killing a penalty, in which case he was more than a team. And he did make some questionable decisions or plays with the puck at his own end. You know, had the puck behind the net, not really under duress, just kind of gave it away, actually, once the forecheck came in on him. So he's got some warts in his game that will prevent him from translating the NHL unless he can iron those out. And if he does look at fantasy hockey, this player could be
a stud. And he's headed to the defenseman factory team, Nashville Predators. So they just keep churning out defensemen. So he's very likely going to end up being an excellent NHL defenseman.
Yeah, Nashville's shown they know a thing or two about drafting and developing the. And the thing that bodes really well for him, in my opinion, on that is Ryan Ellis. Ryan Ellis was a prolific offensive defenseman, and he's about 5.5 feet tall. And I fell in love with him playing for Team Canada. And he's managed to carve out a really nice niche for himself in the NHL. He doesn't even get top power play minutes in Nashville. You know, that goes to Weber and now Subban. He's overcome his size by skating ability and timing, and he throws hits when players are in stride, and he's just a very effective player. He's he's made it. So there's a role model for Gerard.
Yeah, a guy I really wanted to highlight was Guillaume Brisebois, playing with the Charlottetown Islanders. He is probably going to be a 5 or 6 on the QMJHL team in the Russia series. He was drafted 3rd round by Vancouver in 2015, but he was a round 1 number 5 overall for Acadia Bathurst. He played 3 years there. He wasn't a big-time goal scorer. Definitely didn't have a great plus-minus, but I think that was more to do with Acadia Bathurst than himself. Now that he's with the Charlottetown Islanders, he's getting power play time. He's got 2 power play goals already in 16 games and 11 points overall. I think this guy is a quiet, not going to be a fantasy stud by any means, but he's going to be that fringe fantasy player in 4 or 5 years. So if you got time to wait, Guillaume Brisebois is probably a guy you can wait on. He's 6'3", 190 pounds, so he's going to have to put on a little bit more weight, I think, to be an NHL guy. But Vancouver are in need of defensemen. Maybe he ends up with like a Ulevi way down the line. But yeah, Brisebois is definitely bringing a veteran leadership to the Team QMJHL. I don't think he's going to be on the World Juniors by any means, but he also brings leadership to the Charlottetown Islanders, who are looking very good this year. They're scoring at a very high rate, and I think a lot has to do with a steady back end from Brisebois. So that's a guy I really like to highlight, and might have something to do with Charlottetown Islanders. I'm kind of an Islanders fan, so I follow them a little closer than most QMJHL teams. But yeah, definitely a great article by Mike Barrett.
Yeah, I don't follow Brisebois super close, but one thing that I have not been able to miss is he continues to progress. He keeps getting better. He's a prospect on the rise. So yeah, he's a noteworthy prospect for sure.
Yeah, so that's our first segment. You can catch all of those articles Monday, Wednesday, Friday, first week of each month. Catherine Jean, OHL, Braden Sully, WHL, Mike Barrett, QMJHL. Very good reads. They're quick hits of guys to look out for in each league. That's it for this segment. In segment 2, we're going to be talking about the Canada-Russia series. They're going to be coming to the province of Ontario. They've already played one game. They're playing the second game Monday night. We're going to stick and focus on the OHL series. That's coming up. Segment 2, Canada versus Russia. Played 3 games, 2 against the WHL, 1 against the OHL. Russia has taken 2 games. WHL 1-1. Let's start with some OHL Russian players. Mikhail Sergachev has got to be at the top of the list. Peter, what's this guy playing like?
So I think maybe he's suffering from a little bit of NHL-itis, because he's only played 2 games in the OHL so far since he's come back. And he didn't really stand out the way he did in the pre-tournament games this summer, the rookie tournaments. He is just another player. He didn't blow me away that much. So maybe it's from a lack of playing, because he was a scratch a lot when he was up with the Habs. But any Sergachev owners out there, nothing to worry about. He's a lock. He's golden.
Yeah, and the Sportsnet feed had to point out that he hasn't changed what kind of personality he is. He's still picking up the pucks at the end of warm-ups and stuff. So Mikhail Sergachev isn't turning into that guy that got the big contract and played some NHL games and thinks, I'm better than the OHL, I'm better than this CHL league, I should be in the NHL. No, he definitely still thinks that he can play in the OHL, and I think he's just got to get his skates under him, and I think he'll be just fine.
Yeah, we've talked about him in a bunch of the previous other episodes as well. So some other players, though, that I'd like to talk about. One player is Dmitry Sokolov. He's been an interesting character. He came over last year to North America in his draft year, and it didn't go very well. I didn't realize that he had had off-season surgery. I picked that up in the broadcast last night, and that would have a lot to do with explaining why he showed up to camp out of shape, overweight, and he played on a terrible team. Sudbury was just awful. But so last year he played 68 games, he had 30 goals and 52 points, and was a minus 40.
Ouch.
Which is awful. Like I said, Sudbury was a terrible team. He was projected to be a high draft pick. One of our prospect scouts for the Jets, Dave Dickinson, he thought he could go all the way up to top 10 a year before his draft. And he ended up falling all the way down to the seventh round, 196th by the Wild. So, you know, a bit of a Hail Mary there, a total reach. But he's come back this season after an NHL training camp, and he's got 13 games under his belt, 12 goals. He's scoring at almost a goal a game pace. And his plus minus is only minus 2. Sudbury is an improved team, but he's only got 2 assists.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, but anyways, he scored 2 goals in game 1 against the OHL for Russia on Monday night and looked pretty good doing it. So he's got size. His skating is a bit of an issue. If he can get his skating and maintain his conditioning and compete levels, Minnesota might have themselves a bit of a gem there.
And he scored 2 goals, or did he just put 1 goal in?
I think he scored 2. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm looking at the box score, just double checking for you. And yeah, it's just 1 goal he got.
Just the one, eh?
Yeah. My bad. That's all right. So who else stood out for you in the Russia team?
Well, a higher profile player that's also Russia is the Leafs' Korostalev. Plays for the Sarnia Sting. He's got some skills. He can dangle the puck and he can shoot pretty well. The Leafs picked him in the seventh round as well, back in 2015, and Leaf Nation was pretty excited about, you know, this highly skilled Russian and think that they might have got a steal. And then last year, he kind of struggled a little bit. His production went down playing for Sarnia, but his skating has improved. I haven't seen him play live this year, but I watched that game last night and I noticed some improvements in his skating from what I remember from the viewings that I've seen of him before. And he's got great skill. He's having a nice bounce back year so far. In 16 games, he's got 14 goals and 10 assists for 24 points. So a nice balance of goals and assists, a healthy point total. I think he should be on the Russian World Junior team this year as well, which will really work for his confidence. Yeah, so I think, you know, he's got the attention of Leafs again, of Leaf fans. And he's a prospect of note.
Excellent. And you know who I think you thought Sokolov? 2 goals, German Rubtsov was the one with 2 goals. There's just too many Ovs on the Russian team.
That's right. Rubtsov, he had 2 goals. He's a Flyers first round pick. He was really impressive. He was really pushing the pace of the play. It's the first time I've seen him play, and I like what I saw. He played good defensively as well. I remember listening to Craig Button talk about him at the NHL draft, and Button loves this guy. So if he's good enough for Craig Button, he's good enough for me.
That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move over to Team OHL. Guys who stood out for you?
Adam Maskarin, the Kitchener Rangers, Florida Panthers draft pick. I think he is a surefire NHL player. He's not very tall, but he's not a small player. He's got a wicked shot, and he just scores goals. He scored a goal last night in the right place at the right time for the missed shot, banked off the net behind the goal, off the boards, right to him, side of the net, no problem, tapped it in. Yeah, he's a player that I'm going to want to own in fantasy hockey.
And you do in the DPFHL, so you're living by your word.
That's true. What can I say? I like him a lot. I met him at the draft, too, and I told him that that I'd be drafting him in fantasy hockey, so he better make me look smart.
Yeah.
Another player that stood out for me is Giovanni. I keep wanting to call him Giovanni, but it's Giovanni Smith. Jamel Smith's brother. Jamel Smith just scored his first 2 NHL goals last week. Giovanni Smith signed his NHL contract with the Detroit Red Wings, who picked him in, I want to say, the second round of last summer's draft. He's going to be a few years away. He's got great size, but the Red Wings will slow cook this guy like they do all their prospects. So he'll probably have yet another year of maybe junior and then a year maybe two, playing in Grand Rapids in the AHL. But when he shows up, he's got a knack for scoring goals. He can skate just fine. That's not a liability like it is for a lot of big guys. So in leagues like the Dauber Prospects League that have rotisserie style scoring with hits, blocks, penalty minutes, this guy's going to be a beast. He's going to just stuff your stat columns. Most of the goals he scores, I think, will come from a few feet around the net, but he'll score plenty of those.
All right, and the MasterCard Memorial Hero from 2015, Anthony Cirelli, put his name on the map with that game-winning goal. How has he looked so far?
Great. Tampa Bay got actually, I think the Tampa Bay Lightning prospects in that game are all wearing letters: Cirelli, Stevens, and Spencer. And I like them all. I watched Spencer play a lot in Peterborough. All three of these guys are character guys. They're leader guys. They're two-way players, all-around players. They're clutch players. You know, in the last couple minutes of a period or a game, regardless of the score, these are the guys you're going to want to put on the ice. And I think that's something that's overlooked a lot in fantasy hockey. People picking players and drafting and making trades look at who scores all the points. But it's really important that you have players that get a lot of minutes, that have the confidence of the coach. And even if they're maybe not quite as skilled, that don't have the offensive upside as some of the other guys, they'll still get the minutes, which means they're still going to score you your points. And they're reliable players. If the offensive players that don't do anything but offense, if they stop scoring, they don't play at all. So if guys like, you know, Cirelli and Stevens, if they go through scoring slumps, it's not gonna interfere much with their ice time, if at all. So they get the opportunity to get out of it. Reliable players. They're good. I like them.
Yeah, one kid that really stood out that I really enjoyed watching out of the first game against Team OHL was Owen Tippett. I really enjoy how he plays the game. He's just real energy guy that can chip in pucks. He's actually a cousin to Mitchell Stevens. Did you know this?
I did not.
Yeah, there you go. Fun little stat for you. Do you think any of these guys that we named, like Maskerin, Smith, Cirelli, Stevens, Spencer, Tippett, are they World Junior team? Will they make the World Junior team, you think?
Yeah, I think. Not sure about
all of them.
Not sure about Spencer, but yeah, I think they all have. They're all on the short list to make the team. They'll all be considered for sure. You know, speaking of Tippett, another thing that I noticed about him, it made me think of our interview with Gus, and he was talking about players with unique skills and how they have to hone their game around what it is they do well. And he used Ovechkin as an example. And he said everything Ovechkin does is in support of his shot. Finds open ice, he throws hits so he can get open. And I was kind of seeing a little bit of that in Tippett. And this is a guy that just wants to score goals. And he's really going to be good at it. He's already good at it. And I think that if he can hone his game that way, it'll bode well for him and anyone who is fortunate enough to own him in their fantasy leagues.
All right. Well, I hope this helped a lot of people who are watching this Canada-Russia series and kind of wondering, who are these Russians that are coming in? And some of the Team OHL guys that are just like, are they going to be decent fantasy guys? And I think, Peter, you've done an excellent job watching these games. And Peter, you go to arenas a lot. Like, you're in arena how many nights a week? Usually two or three?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely going to the right place if you're listening right now to find out fantasy information on prospects. When we come back, we got another guy in an arena, Braden Sully. He was at game two of this series. We're going to talk to him about the WHL Canada-Russia series and what guys stood out to him, both for Team WHL and for Team Russia. That's when we come back.
Of love.
All right, so in our third segment now, we're going to have our guest on, and our guest this week is none other than Dauber Prospect's own Braden Sully. He is our Edmonton Oilers scout and writer. He's based out of Edmonton, and he does some work for the Dub Network as well. Welcome to the show, Braden. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, so this episode we're talking a lot about the CHL Canada-Russia series, and you were at the second game, which was in your neck of the woods. Let's talk about some of the players from that game. First of all, the Russian players. A lot of the listeners and myself have had very little exposure to some of these guys. And the first player I want to talk to you about is the guy that went first overall in the CHL import draft to Kootenay. And unfortunately for Kootenay, he decided not to report yet. That's Klim Kostin. What can you tell me about this player?
Well, Klim's like, he's a power forward mentality. He's currently playing in the VHL, but he had some time in the KHL. It was the first time I got to see him live. The thing I liked about him was how he was able to use his body to create space for himself. And he really does showcase some good puck skills at high speed. He puts pressure on defensemen really well and uses his stick to create turnovers. He was probably the most impressive Russian at the game, I thought. He also had a pretty good game in Prince George. But he definitely put himself into contention as a top 10 pick, in my opinion.
And he's a player that's draft eligible going into this draft, right?
Yeah.
2017?
Yeah, 2017.
So
he's actually 97, so not a late birthday.
All right. He's a skilled player. He's a little undersized though, isn't he? Am I correct in thinking that?
He didn't look undersized in my opinion. He looked pretty big actually. He played a bigger game. He liked to use his body a lot to fend off players. He looked like a guy who would work well off a cycle, even though they didn't really get many opportunities to do that. But if I was like describing him as a player, he would definitely be a power forward with a high skill set. So that, yeah. But the Evan List is 5'9", but I would say he's about 6 feet.
Sure. Okay. So the next player I wanted to ask you about is another guy that I don't really know anything about. Doesn't play in Canada. That's Alex Volkov. What do you like about this player?
I thought he was actually the best overager at the event. He's a pretty dynamic player. He had an assist on their only goal. He plays with speed, and he's really good with the puck when he's given space. The only problem I really had with his game is that he tends to create turnovers in the defensive zone by trying to do too much. Outside of that, he could probably put himself into contention of what Yegor Korshkov did last year, which was basically just a Russian overager who managed to get himself picked in the draft based on how he played in the KHL and how he played at the World Juniors.
Where is Volkov playing this season? Is he in the KHL?
Right now he's in the VHL, but I would not be surprised if he got called up soon.
Okay, and how old is he again? Say he's an overager?
He's an overager. He's a 97.
Interesting. Okay. And so then the other two players that I'd be interested in talking to you about, they're players that play in the Dubs. You're probably pretty familiar with these guys. So I'm probably going to pronounce the names quite wrong, but Papagayev?
Yeah, Nikita Papagayev. He plays for Moose Jaw right now. He's actually ranked fifth amongst NHLers on our website. He's kind of a bigger kid. He likes to play the perimeter, but he doesn't really use his size. Like, he uses his size to fend off the puck pretty well, but he's not really a physical aspect out there. You really got to see him live to see how big he is. Like, every time I've seen him, he's been basically a man amongst boys, it looks like, even though he's one of the younger players. But he has excellent finishing abilities. He went through a streak early in October with Moose Jaw that saw him score, seemed every game consistently. Not much else really to say about him. He should be top 20 pick this year.
How's his skating?
But he definitely has a high ceiling.
How's his skating?
His skating's pretty good. He's got a good stride. I would like his foot speed be a little bit better, but that's kind of with everybody who's a bigger player. He does a good job using his skating to get out of pressured areas most of the time. And I think the thing I liked about his skating most was that he has pretty long legs. He has those long, lengthy legs, and he kind of uses the full leg in a stride, and it really does propel him further than most players.
Interesting. And then the last player that plays in the dub that's a Russian import is Manulin, right?
Yeah, Artem Manulin, currently with Swift Current. He he's kind of an interesting player in this year's draft, to be honest. He could go anywhere in the second to the third. He's ranked ninth by WHL rankings. He's a big kid, plays a pretty smart, simple game. Does an excellent job at keeping players to the outside. I think he's got a lot of offensive upside because he's got a pretty good first pass. He uses his stick pretty well defensively. Personally, I think he could be in the NHL as kind of a two-way defenseman who plays more PK minutes, shuts down players, but can also go out there and, you know, get the puck out of the zone on defensive draws.
Okay, so of these four players, how would you rank them in terms of fantasy hockey value?
I think the top one would definitely be Klim Kostin. He definitely has the potential. He kind of, for me personally, he reminded me a lot of the way he skated, a lot like Tarasenko, without that kind of dynamicness to him, just the way he creates space for himself. I'd say next would probably be Nikita Popagaev. He has some pretty stellar finishing abilities. I could definitely see him being a pretty good complementary player on someone's wing in the NHL. He's a big kid. After that, I'd probably go with Manulin. He does a good job getting down, blocking shots. He's a big kid. Definitely a player who his game would translate well to the NHL. He's does a really good job making that first pass, probably getting those third assists. Volkov, for me, is kind of a wild card because you don't know where really he could end up. But he's definitely kind of a dynamic player and does a really good job moving with the puck through the neutral zone and would definitely be someone to watch going forward, draft-wise and fantasy-wise.
All right, cool, Braden. Thanks for all that good Russian talk, because a lot of these guys don't get seen by many, many people. Like you said, you only have seen Kostin for the first time live just now. Let's move on to some of the more known guys in WHL. Mason Shaw had big shoes to fill. He got put onto the WHL team late. How did he look?
He looked really good in Edmonton. He was a late add-on due to an injury. He kind of played like an up-tempo game. I don't want to call him one-dimensional because he really did his offense first, but he does a good job really sticking his nose everywhere, not afraid to get into battles with bigger players. He actually got some power play minutes at the game, even though he was a late add-on. Don't know where he ends up right now. I know he was leading the league in scoring, I think, in the middle of October. He was on a good stretch with Med Hat. But I could definitely see him being an early to middle second-round player. But I think size might be another factor for him. Even though he does kind of play a bigger game, there is times where he is pushed off the puck. Outside of that, though, he's a really effective player in the offensive zone. He kind of flies around. Seems to always have the puck on his stick, and definitely someone who I think could maybe reach later first round near when the end of the year comes up and draft day is nearing.
Okay, cool. Tyler Benson kind of was quiet in Prince George the very first game, and then he comes to his hometown in Edmonton and just lights it up. Was he definitely first star for Team WHL in that game?
He was really good, especially in front of Edmonton where he was drafted. But He had a goal and two assists. I know the goal was an empty netter, but he probably deserved that. He kind of has a two-way game that kind of gets unnoticed a lot of the time. He can be used in all areas. He even gets some PK time. He did have two assists, and I know during his draft year, he was really known as a playmaking, pass-first type of player, and his vision definitely does stand out to me. But his two-way game really doesn't get looked at, and I think that's where he will find space in the NHL, is with a kind of a two-way winger. Outside of that, I would like to see maybe, I know he plays in Vancouver right now, but I would like to see how he plays with some on a better team, actually, because he did play. I mean, Canada Rush has a better team, and he did play pretty well in Edmonton. But yeah, he seems like the type of player who could maybe crack a World Junior spot, in my opinion, depending on what they're looking for.
Yeah, as like a third line guy, that kind of energy guy.
Yeah, kind of knows his role, really. Gonna go out there and kill some penalties, maybe work in the defensive zone more.
Okay, cool. Sam Steele, I'm real interested in this kid. I really don't get to see him very often. I try to watch as much WHL as I can, but it's pretty tough being in Ontario. But Sam Steele, how did he look the other night?
Really good. I thought he was one of the better players on the Team WHL. He's a Anaheim first rounder, and since he came back from the Anaheim camp, he's just been on a tear. He's leading the WHL in scoring currently on the Regina Pats. A big skilled, speedy center. He really brings a lot offensively. But the thing that really caught my eye during the game specifically was the way he supports his defenseman in the W in the own zone. He does a good job kind of being aware in his own zone and knowing that the puck needs to get out and translating it forward. He's a big, speedy, dynamic player. Not much else to say really. Like, he was a little early in the year, but I would kind of like to see how his points will produce moving forward. I know last year in his draft year, he was kind of playing, his coach is kind of putting him in more two-way positions, but I think this year he's playing with actually another player who was on the Canada Russia series, Austin Wagner, and he's playing more of an offensive game, and it's been pretty effective for Regina, who's currently ranked number one in the CHL.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, so defenseman Cal Foote, is he anything like his dad Adam Foote, or not really?
He's definitely really solid defensively, and he has a good first pass. He's not one of those big kids whose foot speed needs work. He's obviously, his draft stock will be high. He's a right-handed defenseman who can move the puck. I've seen him twice this year. He's kind of, both games I thought he's been all right. Didn't notice him as much in the WHL game as other defensemen, but the thing I like about him is that he definitely does a great job winning battles in his own zone. He's an excellent puck mover. He makes a good first pass. He uses his feet to get out of pressured areas and create space for himself. For me, I think he's a probably 7 to 15 range at the NHL draft, seeing how he does going forward. Got a lot of skill. He's another one of those big defensemen out of Kelowna. Interesting about him is that he's got dual citizenship for Canada and Russia, or Canada and USA, which ultimately allowed him to play in this game. And I think he's another one player who could contend for the Team Canada World Juniors, but he's definitely a bubble player for me at that stage.
Okay, so out of these four guys we mentioned, Shaw, Benson, Steele, Foote, are these guys going to be World Junior players for sure, or kind of on the
I
cusp?
think Steele and Foote should be. I think Steele's the number, he's for sure. I don't see how he can't, even though he wasn't invited to the camp in August. Foote is a little bit of a bubble player. There's a lot of pretty good defensemen and across the CHL right now. We're Canadian. He could contend. I would probably lean towards him maybe cracking a 6-7 spot. Benson's another player who, when it comes down to it, could maybe make it. Once again, if they're looking for a player who can play well in the defensive zone, make some pretty good playmaking decisions. I don't see Shaw making it this year. I think next year he could be an option. But I would say Steele and Foote are the two that should make it, in my opinion.
Okay, cool. I think that's all we really needed to cover, Braden. Where can our listeners find you on Twitter?
My handle is at SullyDraftGeek. All my stuff gets posted to Dub Network and Dover Prospects. And yeah, but SullyDraftGeek on Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah, and a reminder that that Braden does WHL content. We have the that monthly editorial, and Braden does a great job covering the Dub for us in first week of every month. So thanks for that, Braden.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Braden, once again for coming on and giving us your insight on the live viewing of Game 2 of the Canada-Russia series. We also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to publish a podcast. So please continue to listen. Check out Episode 6 show notes at dauberprospects.com/DPR06. If you have any questions about the guys we discussed or want us to talk about any other players, feel free to email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. Please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. If you have already subscribed, please could you give us a 5-star review and share our podcast with anybody who may be interested. It helps immensely, you wouldn't believe. You can follow us at DPR_show on Twitter, and myself at Zwambag, ZWAMBAG, and Peter Harling at P Harling, PHARLING. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Cheers.